B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich, covering Radio Row from north to south. Presented by your New England Volkswagen dealers. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Listen, this isn't just some club event. This is a festival centered around you. Featuring your favorite artists, amazing food, killer cocktails, Polynesian beach performers, and I even got the Wynn in Vegas to pop up an encore beach club VIP section. We'll call it Grand Beach.
Rocks, buddy.
Woo! Oh. Dancing, bikinis, partying. Polynesian beach performers.
Heard of all of it.
wait a second. You're going to have Polynesian beach performers?
Polynesian beach performers.
Polynesian beach performers.
All right. So Gronkowski, and then Rich has gone through it before. It's like $5 million to go to this thing.
I mean, if you want to get, and by the way, it's the ad says now 95% sold out.
Yeah, right.
So that means there's still tickets available. Now, it is going to do well for the general admission, but I have those $10,000 tables. Who knows what else?
You are really in for some fun. By the way, this hour of Rich and Miami is brought to you by Acadia Healthcare. Now the lineup is set. Now Gronk in this in the commercial for it, he is shirtless.
Well, Gronk. Okay, first of all, Gronk actually admitted. Where was that interview where he goes, I don't really know what I have to do with this, but I guess I'm going to show up and party.
Yeah,
and
they put his name on it. Yeah. He was like...
And it was brilliant because, you know what? Once again, I think this is also a situation where most people speculated that thought that the Patriots would, there was a good chance they would be in the Super Bowl. And so, you know, with Gronk Beach here, Gronk, Patriots, all of this stuff, it would be all the talk. And now, you know, they're not here, and it's not quite as big of a story about, you know, Rob Gronkowski. But either way, Gronk Beach, still a thing. And as you're alluding to yesterday, Fred, they released the set times, and it made me laugh out loud. There's two things in particular that just made me start laughing when they came out with the set times. And first of all, the art's just fantastic.
Well, the art is the beginning of Saved by the Bell. The art is surprised if the person who did this art was the person that did the credits of Saved by the Bell.
See, I was thinking the TB Times. It looks like the cartoonist who did that.
Fair enough. Well, hey, listen, who knows that they're not all the same?
They could be the same guy.
Absolutely.
We don't know that, you know. But it's got a picture of him with a lay around his neck. It's got Gronk. He's kind of pointing at the camera. It says, "Big game weekend. Don't sue us." And then
Rich, he has a life preserver device.
Yes.
So he's telling you that if you happen to be drowning, that Gronkowski would be there. And who went mouth to mouth from Mr. Gronkowski?
So he just tweeted and said, "Gronk's commercial sounds like the video of Prestige Worldwide from Step Brothers."
Well, here's the thing about Gronkowski, and he's admitted it. He has no idea what the hell he's endorsing. He has no idea what's going on. He had that dumb Bluetooth football that him and his brother were doing, and his brother's got nothing going on, Chris Gronkowski, and he was unaware of the ball.
See, this is such an awesome thing if you're Rob Gronkowski, because I guarantee you what happened is they went to him, somebody, this event planner, and said, "Here's the deal, Gronk. We are going to have a music festival. It's going to have all your favorite people because he legitimately likes these guys. And you know what? We're just going to put your name on it, and we're going to just, you can invite your entire family. You can drink, eat all you want. All you got to do is get on stage and dance for a moment. Okay. We're going to pay you a zillion dollars."
All right. Well, looking at what's going on, Rich, I'm guessing he's there for 5 minutes.
Well, you might be exactly right.
Yeah,
because
if you think Rob Gronkowski is going to be in attendance for over 10 minutes, I've got news for you. Because as far as we know, and then I'll let you get to what is the funny thing about it is that all he has to do is like greet a VIP table and then do what?
And then he's got to go on stage for a moment. That's probably it. So let's get to
how long is the moment?
Okay. Well, let's go down the set times.
Okay.
From 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, you have a DJ apparently by the name of Mike Ryan.
But Rich, DJ Irie is also hosting.
He's hosted by DJ Irie. It says at the bottom.
So get
not
there.
Rob Gronkowski.
No. Get there early to see DJ Irie introduce Mike Ryan.
Right.
Because this thing's big.
Mike Ryan will probably leave the DJ booth, and DJ Irie will go, hey, let's hear for a guy named K-Razor. K-Razor.
Now K-Razor, obviously a little more important than Mike Ryan, for he is only DJing for 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's 2 to 2:45.
Mike Ryan doing an hour. K-Razor saying, not so fast, I'm doing 45 minutes.
So after K-Razor comes Blau, although it's spelled three Lau.
That's Blau?
That's Blau. That is supposed to be a B, but it's a three. It's Thrlau. Blau.
Okay, well, he says as well, you got 45 minutes of my time.
Mm-hmm. So after three Lau, now here's where it gets good. You get a salute to Gronk. And the times for that, the set time, is from 3:30 to 3:35.
Yes.
Grand total of 5 minutes, yes, of Rob Gronkowski at Gronk Beach.
Yes, indeed. And Gronkowski fans, come one, come all, and see him at a distance for 5 minutes.
And how much of that 5 minutes is DJ Irie introducing Rob Gronkowski?
I'm guessing DJ Irie lists a bunch of accolades and what a party animal he is.
Yep.
And then Rob Gronkowski will come out and, like, chug a beer and go, bye. And I'll tell you what, worth the price of admission right there. I mean, you're telling me.
They put it in the set list.
Yes.
3:30 to 3:35.
Well, I think.
Salute to Gronk.
I think it's legally, that's what you have to do. But I'll tell you what. If I'm in line at 11 in the morning because I don't want to miss a second of Mike Ryan. And then I want to be in position at the front of the stage to see the salute to Gronk. I mean, that 5 minutes is worth every dollar that they have going on over there.
So then it gets fun after the salute to Gronk. From 3:35 to 4:05, you've got a nice 30-minute set from Flo Rida.
Yeah, and which, Rich, I would again imagine will be 30 minutes of just Flo Rida. Like, he's going to get through as many songs as possible. I, again, am expecting DJ Irie to cut in a great deal into what's going on with Flo Rida.
I swear.
All right,
man.
First of all, how many of these people show up?
Well, all of them. They'll all show up.
We'll see. Okay. All right. Okay. We'll see.
And then after Flo Rida, you've got from 4:10 to 4:55, Carnage.
Now, that's not even.
Everyone dies.
That's what I was going to say. That's not a musical act. That's just what's going to happen in the crowd. Sure. When they realize how ripped off they were.
They release the lions. It's just on the crowd. It's like gladiator games.
Right. They're going to go like, hey, you will not live to tell the story of how stupid this party was.
Right. As everyone tries to stab the lions, the bloodthirsty lions, with their glow sticks. Then from 4:55 to 5:40, that is Cascade with a K. And then get ready. Get ready for the big name. The big name of the evening, Rick Ross. Hope you're not taking a dump during his 20 minutes, because he's going to be there from 5:45 okay. to 6:05.
Now, Rich, how much of that, again, is DJ Irie?
DJ Irie introducing Rick Ross.
So I'm going to guess that's a 10-minute introduction.
You got a 10-minute introduction, 5 minutes of Rick Ross, and then DJ Irie says, that was Rick Ross. Let's hear it for 5 minutes of Rick Ross. Honestly, don't be pinching a loaf, because you might end up missing, really, the headline.
Okay, I would put odds on Rick Ross not being there. Just him, like, forgetting about it. But nonetheless.
I think that you got to get that paycheck. This is probably a really good paycheck.
Yeah, but I'm sure. But, I mean, what does he care? He's probably doing something else.
And then
sleeping and eating.
The final act is Diplo from 6:10 to 7 o'clock. And then it is all done and over with. And I swear to you, I really wish I was here this weekend. I would have loved to have gone to this thing.
You would have 6 hours of daytime fun. Ben, go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Influencer Fred. How are you, sir?
Thank you. At Fred Toucher on Instagram.
Follow it daily. Listen, first, if you think for a second that Rob Gronkowski is only going to be there for a short time, he is coordinating this thing. He's got a clipboard, stopwatch, a headset. He's got two walkie-talkies. He is running around the entire time, making sure everything goes off without a hitch. Costume changes for himself, assistants. You're really selling him short. He is a man of business.
Yes, right.
And I think all this speculation is just, I think you're going to be proven wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard he has been poring over every detail as we speak. That he's been Miami. He's been looking at the grounds of where this thing is going to be held.
Here's Gronk talking about his involvement in Gronk Beach.
And, you know, I'm hosting. I'm not really sure what I'm doing there yet.
You're not hosting it. DGIRE is hosting it.
No.
Here's what's going to happen. He's going to go. Somebody said, by the way, the salute to Gronk 5 minutes is like caddy day at the Bushwood pool. It's exactly what it is. 5 minutes. So
I wonder if everyone's going to say, like, the Pledge of Allegiance. Like, they're just kidding. He's going to stand up there and he's like, salute to Gronk.
So he's going to go on stage. Flo Rida is going to walk out, and he's going to stand on stage with Flo Rida, and he's going to twerk when My House comes on, and then that's going to be the last you see of Rob Gronkowski.
If he's only contractually obligated to be there for 5 minutes, he will not be there for over 5 minutes.
The whole Gronkowski will be on stage for the first song of Flo Rida. There's no question in my mind.
I will put odds to you that Rick Ross does not show up to this.
I mean, listen, that's not a bet I'm willing to take because you're right. There is always a chance. But, I mean, if you're going to get paid what he's probably going to get paid, probably a ridiculous amount of money.
If I'm rich.
For 20 minutes of work, I'm doing that.
Okay,
gig.
If I'm rich and I live in Miami and I am smoking weed and whatever else, at what point does the incentive leave you to leave the house?
Like, well, he's already here doing, gigs. So, Rick, this isn't the only thing
he's
doing.
Yeah, I know, which makes it even more evident that he wouldn't want to show up. I don't know. I would put pretty good odds on Rick Ross not showing up to this thing. But nonetheless.
I bet they're paying him at least $75,000
and I would
for 20 minutes of work.
That at a certain point in the day, he goes, is it really worth $75,000?
I'll tell you what, that's a place in my life I'd like to be. For 20 minutes worth of work, you would turn down $75,000. Good for Rick Ross.
I'll tell you. I mean, people do it. All right, we'll be back. Let's talk a little bit more about this planter situation. Because I was talking to people in marketing, and it smells foul to me, this whole thing. We will be back in just a moment.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Oh, crazy town.
If I'm out of breath, I apologize. This room is so immense that I had to go use a restroom, and along the way, I saw DA, and I wanted to stop, but I looked down at my phone, and it said that I had 2.5 minutes, and I hadn't even left the room yet. So I was like, Shh. So I saw DA. He didn't see me.
Did you throw a shoe at him?
I couldn't have time to. I'm going too soon.
Okay, so you are going to put a shoe on his desk.
Sure, why not?
Okay, because I want him to be...
I don't know what to put, but then I need my shoe back. I need somebody's shoe.
You play, you pay.
So if someone's willing to donate a shoe... I did see, however, that Kirk Cousins is going to be making rounds this morning, it looks like.
Ah, well, he's third.
So the high-five party might be in full effect. Hey. We'll see if we can chase him down.
Yes. All right. Inexplicably, this Mr. Peanut. First of all, I like the idea that Planters is advertising. Like, the peanut game has gotten very competitive. So Planters has decided that we're going to go nuts. And so the idea was they were going to... I just see what I just
Well
did.
Done!
I can't even help being funny. Sometimes it happens when I don't even know it. So Planters is going to have this ad and that Mr. Peanut goes off a cliff in a car and he dies. Now, inexplicably, this became part of the zeitgeist. Like, it was on the Today Show. They had achieved, before the commercial even aired, much more than they probably ever expected. So this is like going to be the big ad campaign. What happened to Mr. Peanut? We're all on the edge of our seats because we're all sheep and idiots. And here we go. So they get the pop from this. Now, I have several friends in marketing, almost as much as I have in real estate, which seems to be the profession of choice for people that I went to high school with. But nonetheless, so I have this these people in marketing. And by the way, the idea to kill, would anyone like to guess what movie was the impetus of the idea, the starter of Mr. Peanut dying?
Avengers Endgame.
Yes. Did you already read that?
I did hear that, yes. All
right. Well, then you shouldn't have answered. All right. So anyway. So here we go. Mr. Peanut, he's got a, and then you go, what happened to Mr. Peanut? He's an animated peanut. And so they get this pop. So now the Planters Company has canceled the ad in honor of the Bryant family. And they say they've suspended the campaign indefinitely after the sudden death of Kobe Bryant, who perished in a helicopter crash on Sunday. Quote, "We wanted you to know that we are saddened by this weekend's news, and Planters has paused all campaign activities." So Planters, in honor of the Bryant family, is not going to advertise, which I'm sure is very soothing for them and very comforting for them that the Peanut Company has stopped all advertisements. And it says, all campaign activities, including paid media, and will evaluate the next steps through the lens of sensitivity to those impacted by this tragedy. Now, here's the deal. Planters did that to advertise. They did the idea that the Bryants would be home watching the Super Bowl and they would see the animated peanut go off a cliff, and that would somehow get back to the fact that, that they lost a child and a husband. That's absolutely ludicrous.
That's not it at all. And you know what, Fred, is as much as I would like to make fun of them doing that, here's why they did it. Because the internet sucks. Because they will find some reason to rail on you and for people to write an article about how insensitive you were about a subject. And I guarantee the people at Planters knew that if they ran that commercial during the Super Bowl, there would have been people who went crazy going,
okay,
how can you show a commercial where someone falls into a pit and explodes in a fiery crash within days of Kobe Bryant dying, and they would have gotten killed. It's a cartoon peanut.
Okay, hang on. First of all, I highly doubt it's a fiery crash.
It is a fiery crash. I've seen the commercial.
Okay, it's. I highly doubt it's a. It's you know like Rambo.
It is. I'm not joking. It is a over the top explosive fiery death ravine.
The people I know that are in marketing said that absolutely this was an opportunistic moment for them to get press, double down on press without having to pay for the advertising.
Well, is that a result of them doing that? Sure, I guarantee
no,
you.
But it was a calculated move by the Planters Corporation to say, listen, we already got a pop without running this thing, and now we can get a second pop for pulling the ad.
Well, I don't see why they both can't be right. I mean, you can't. I'm telling you, if somebody very smart said we can't run, dude, do you remember how the songs you couldn't play? You couldn't play "Fly Away," unfortunately. Like on the radio, they yanked it from the radio for months.
That was 9/11.
I understand,
but was 9/11. I mean,
Fred, I understand, Rich. but wasn't around there. And also, it was Twitter, and everyone's going to go on Twitter.
Oh,
and I guarantee,
please.
If they would have run that commercial, people would have gone crazy because people have lost their
minds.
People
would. If you think that anyone would have sat down and said that Mr. Peanut fell off a cliff and somehow equated that to Kobe Bryant.
Fred, a woman from the Washington Post got suspended for tweeting out an article, a factual article about Kobe Bryant's rape allegations. She works for the Washington Post.
But that
and she got suspended on a factual article just being retweeted.
I understand.
You don't think people are sensitive?
I do. But that is directly involved with Kobe Bryant. I think the Planters Company made a move saying that we can get double the press and that we, if we publicly pull this ad and we make statements that we pulled the ad, I do you think that the Bryant family would be sitting down watching the Super Bowl and they would be offended by the Planters commercial?
That's not what they're talking about. That's not what they were saying. They didn't say that we didn't want the Bryant family to see this. They thought
well,
that
that's the only issue.
No, it's not the only issue. It's the backlash that you get publicly if you run with this ad. Listen, it's all stupid. This is all dumb. It's a cartoon peanut. Nobody should be offended, but everyone gets offended. Everyone's offended on the internet.
Well, so if they had not brought this up, how you think people would have equated the two things?
Yes. Oh, my God, yes. Oh, completely yes. Are you telling me that?
So any scene of someone dying now is Kobe Bryant?
I would say just several days after his airplane went, or his helicopter rather, went down in a fiery crash, if you had a commercial that had your main character go down in a fiery crash, Fred, this is the world we live in, yes, they would have gotten slammed on Twitter. It would have been stupid, but it would have been a thing.
Okay, so
and if
so,
you're a company, wait, you're like, it's not worth it.
All right, so how long do I have to wait before I can, because, you know, every TV show and movie has someone die. So how long is the waiting period before you could do that in popular culture?
I have no idea. I don't know.
I could see if it was a basketball player.
But it's a couple days, and it's the Super Bowl, and it's still going to be a major story.
I think that you are I think that Planters did it to double down on positive press.
So if you're the head of the Planters company, would you have ran that commercial?
Yes. No, I wouldn't have, because I could be the good guy. I could go, like, I could say, oh, we're suspending all our... Do you think that they really need to suspend not only this campaign, but suspend all advertising?
Well, this was their ads. This is where they put their money.
No. But they have other avenues of advertising. Do you think that they would say, we are suspending all avenues of advertising because of the death of Kobe Bryant?
But that's their campaign, is about the fiery death of a Fred, that is, it's that all is, stupid,
that
but
is the, that is the
have
Super
you ever
Bowl
been
commercial.
On the internet before? Have you ever been on the internet?
No.
People get outraged by everything, and it was a smart move. And you know what? And that's just a benefit. You're right, too, is that does it make them look good? Does it get an extra pop as well? Absolutely it does. But it doesn't mean that they didn't yank it because they knew people were going to lose their crap and they would have had backlash after the Super Bowl.
I don't know. The people that I know that are in advertising and marketing think that it was a shrewd move because it makes them look good. And that,
well, it does.
Yeah, it does make
it look. Does.
Well,
Fred,
not,
I mean,
to
we're,
me.
We're both
look,
right here.
It makes them look idiotic to me. Barry, go ahead.
Hey, sports babe. First time caller, hit me.
All right. Sports babe, the fabulous sports babe. Oh, yeah,
what happened to her?
Yeah.
Well, so, Fred, I think you're right. Planters is genius. They got all the campaign they wanted out of this thing, and now they get to save the cost of a Super Bowl ad. No, it's all coming up Planters today.
That's what my friends are telling me. They're telling me it's all coming up Planters. They said that that this was a shrewd marketing technique, but what do you know? I mean, I don't know how big the backlash is. Like, I don't think that's something that takes off. Like the backlash, like you might get some maniacs on Twitter, but they got to deal with that anyway.
Oh man, it's a Super Bowl commercial.
You think anyone in media would attack them from a legitimate news source?
Oh, dude, there's all these finger waggers in media as
well. After a celebrity dies, everyone's willing to, is waiting for someone to make a mistake. There's no question about that.
Yes.
Well, I understand that, but I don't know if a reputable news source would have ran with the story that Planters was being
well. You also know how. Yeah, I mean, you know the tricky way that these news places do it is they go, the internet is outraged by Planters ad.
Yeah,
and
but
then
that's like in Style Magazine. That's like when you click on Yahoo under your wife's account, and there's like all these dumb stories up.
Right. Yeah. Like. Well, the Planters faces listener viewer backlash.
All right. If we live in a world where an animated peanut can't go off a cliff because a NBA star tragically died along with his daughter.
I agree.
I don't know what kind of world we're living in. I mean, you have to compartmentalize these things. I mean, there's...
Compartmentalize.
Shut up. What, do you think you're better than me?
Well, with that word, yes. Or with that word.
Let's go screw with Fesco again. Mike told me you didn't want to screw with Fesco again because he's like a good guy.
No, no, no. Not that we didn't want to screw with him. He said, do you want me to listen to his show to see what he's saying about it? I'm like, dude, I think we've beaten up on it enough. I was like, I think we kind of threw in the whole crap and caboodle. And we played it like two times yesterday. It was great. It was awesome. But
I say we played again.
And I got no problem with that. It was great.
All right, we're going to play it again. Why not? All right, we'll be back. Oh, wait. All right, we have tons of calls. Do you want to keep riding this planners thing?
I mean, as long as they're good. I mean, if the calls suck, then no, of course not. Now, if Ray from Baltimore calls.
Let me tell you about Mr. Peter.
He said, thank you very much.
Why only one eye?
Okay, I don't know.
Why does he have to wear a monocle?
I'm not quite sure.
What happened to the good? Why he have one good eye? And one bad one. How did that monocle stay in place?
5-15-75.
He got one glasses. You know, you know what I hate, Rich?
What do you hate?
Nerds.
You hate nerds?
I hate nerds. They're all over there with the bow ties.
You know what
and
you're talking
glasses.
About all the time, those nerds? The
numbers, numbers, numbers.
Yeah, they're over there doing the homework. Get rid of that book, nerd. Stupid nerd. I see him everywhere. You know, you're not on the streets like me.
I'm not.
I go to the Baltimore Public Library and I go, nerds. Oh, you dumb nerds. God don't love no nerd. Look at you, Poindexter. What's next? You got your calculator? 5-15-75. You add those up. What are you going to do? Science? What is she doing? You read encyclopedia? You're a nerd.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ray, for Baltimore.
I'm going to hit your lunch out of your hands and make you feel bad and get hungry.
That's not a good thing to do.
Give me your lunch money, nerd. You dumb nerd. Poindexter, you ain't going to kiss a girl.
Is this nerd-hating Ray Lewis? Like, where are we going with this?
Well, we got to take down the nerds.
Okay.
They're getting too uppity.
This is Ogre Ray Lewis?
Ogre. I got to take a long pee.
That's right. That's you from Revenge of the Nerds, too.
Excuse me.
The pee that never ended.
But one thing is, I have to apologize for Skolnick's behavior.
Okay, Ogre Ray Lewis.
I have to. Skolnick had unconsensual sex with a girl.
You can't air Revenge of the Nerds on television now.
No, they also installed cameras to look at girls nude without their knowledge.
There's a lot of
flaws in the film. Revenge of the Nerds. Actually, the nerds looking back are kind of the bad guys.
They're really the bad guys in all
That's
of that.
Right. Skolnick pretends to be the quarterback, and he bangs a girl, but he's so good at the sex. She's happy afterwards.
Yeah, or, like, rapes her, I would think is the better
word. Well, that's the way you could put it, is that's a felony. But then, and then also installing cameras in the girls' sorority to look at them naked would also be a felony.
That's a felony, too.
Yeah, because I've learned the hard way from Charles Haley. Don't put cameras in the toilet. That's what he told me.
Yeah, I would say that all of those nerds would still be in jail today.
Yeah, Ogre just hated nerds.
Yeah, it's Ray Ogre Ray Lewis. Not, you were obviously
PC,
on the right side.
PC Ogre Ray Lewis.
PC Ogre Ray Lewis. Thank you very much, PC Ogre.
Well, I got to tell you, Ogre, I might take a long pee, but I ain't spying on girls naked.
No, you're not. You're good Samaritan, Ogre Ray Lewis.
Well, now take me back to paradise. 38 special. It's now here we are. You know, there's Courtney Thorne Smith looking all nice.
She was throwing heat back in the day. Absolutely.
Ted McGinley not in the film.
Really, they couldn't afford Ted McGinley.
You know, he was doing the best happy days ever when they didn't have Richie. Those were the best ones.
Was it John Goodman your coach? Is that right?
John Goodman was my coach before he got morbidly obese.
Okay, thank you. Revenge of the Nerds, politically correct, Good Samaritan Ogre Ray Lewis.
Well, I don't suggest spying on the ladies without their prior knowledge.
You will go to jail.
Hey, Booger, clean your shirt. You're gross.
Hey, he's got a cool shirt on, though, doesn't he?
Hey, Booger, who farted? Come on. You're better than that.
Somebody said they all, not only did they put cameras in the sorority, they had a minor in the sorority watching it with them.
That's true.
He was a smart nerd. Hey. And then they had the, they made fun of the gay guy. And then they made fun of the Asian guy. By playing this song.
You can't. I mean, can you imagine? How have they not tried to make that go away? Like, you know how, like, Disney tried to make Song of the South, like, disappear? Like,
well, what was wrong with that? Well, they called them paw babies in some way that was considered culturally unacceptable?
I would say that there was many reasons why they got rid of Song of the South. But, I mean, and then they made Our Bride out of it, which was really weird at Disneyland. I couldn't understand that. It was like,
well, it's Song Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Look at me, I'm drunk. I killed a guy. Hey, fun, kids.
Well, they got rid of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride at one of the parks.
Well, I got Ray Lewis's Wild Ride. And it's just a bunch of numbers and words scrambled all around.
Okay, yeah. So they got. I just don't know why it hasn't, like, Revenge of the Nerds, or hasn't been an effort to just.
Why is Booger dressed up like Elvis? No one else found the need to dress up as a popular rock icon.
I forgot about that. That's right. Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
All they did was illegal stuff.
Yep. A lot of that.
That's why I don't like nerds.
Thank you. Politically correct. Good Samaritan, Ogre Ray Lewis.
I gotta take a pee.
Thank
I'll
you
see you in
much.
30 minutes. It's very funny.
Yeah, all right. We will see
it
you.
It was
then.
Very long pee.
Yes.
See? Comedically long. You thought it was going to, just like this bit. You thought it was going to end, but then it just kept going and going.
It grew legs. It did.
Right. All right. Well, that little redhead seen all those new girls illegally. Good for him. All right, we'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Be listening at 7:50 this morning for your chance to score a pair of 3-day general admission wristbands to Boston Calling this Memorial Day weekend at Harvard Athletic Complex. Memorial Day weekend, I will be at a baseball tournament out of town for children. This year's Boston Calling will feature the Foo Fighters, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, emphasis on red hot. And they have John Frusciante back.
Yep.
And he might be doing heroin again, but the whole gang does. Who has the most Red Hot Chili Peppers platinum albums?
Who? What do you mean?
Who has the most Red Hot Chili Pepper platinum albums?
I don't know. Who, Fred?
Well, they're a heroin dealer.
That's the Neil Hamburger joke,
That's right. He does 5 minutes on the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Rage Against the Machine also officially announced yesterday. I'm looking at the rest of the lineup. Andrew W.K. going to be on the same night as the Foo Fighters, Andrew W.K., and Jason Isbell. That is a strong, strong evening on Friday night. And then,
how do the Red Hot Chili Peppers make sure no one knows about their new tracks?
I could guess the answer, but I'm sure the punchline's much better. How, Fred?
They wear long sleeves.
I was just about to say that. They wear sleeves. Yep.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I wish I could think of more, but I can't. But I'll tell you this. Rage Against the Machine.
Yep.
Are going to be there. And for a full lineup and to purchase 3-day tickets, visit bostoncalling.com.
Well,
as that.
Speaking of partying, last night, as you said, was indeed the night that
Super Tuesday, when the Felger Man Show gets out and maybe an edible is eaten. Come on.
They did go
now.
Out last night. And
yeah, so
I think one of the first places that they went was the Celtics game. Celtics were here in Miami.
I mean, they were raging.
Jim Louth, you mind if I pop you on for that? I didn't mean to get you mid-apple bite, but Jim was actually at the first part of the evening. Now, did you guys pregame or anything before you end up going to the Celtics game, or did you guys start off there?
No, there was a little pregame because the game got moved back a half hour because of the the Lakers game getting canceled.
Okay.
So we had an extra half hour. So we went to a bar local near the hotel.
Okay. And then you guys went to the Celtics game. Now, were you guys in, like, what was the condition of everyone at that point?
Felger was in rough shape at the Celtics game.
Okay. Is he a lightweight? Is he a lightweight?
Because I've seen him out
he's
drinking.
The only one. Well, I have two.
But by the way, it was at the Four Seasons, so like
that's Murray destroyed him last year in Atlanta. I remember that.
If they talk about him taking edibles, I am going to shoot myself in the head. It's legal. Stop. I smoked weed when I was 12.
Yeah, but how it affects Felger is funny. I mean, he was a mess like last year.
Yeah, but that's alcohol. Like, well, he threw up in the Uber. First of all, I'm calling BS on how wasted he gets.
Did you see him last year?
Yeah. I gave him an Oscar.
Dude, he was amazing. I mean, cause, put it this way. I'm with you on, but he was, that's what made it funny. He was an absolute mess last year.
Well, he's half a man then. You should, a man needs to be able to go out and drink without crapping his pants the next day.
So, Jim, you're telling me he was banged up just from the pre-gaming that you guys did before you went to the game?
Yeah. I mean, he was drinking margaritas, I think.
Oh, okay. My God. Just like
and then he switched to beer. But I guess the margaritas got him.
I mean,
they must.
Nobody else... just like a 45-year-old woman at Applebee's. He was really crushing the Marie. There's nothing stronger than a margarita, by the way, but continue.
And nobody else was banged up, just him?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so
he drinks.
What's that?
The thing is he's not, like, sober. He drinks.
Yeah, that's why this is very weird to me.
Yeah, that's why I don't believe it.
No, last year he was not faking it. Last year, there's no way. I mean,
last night he was not faking it.
Then they say things like, well, you can't mix alcohol at your age, which is... the most idiotic thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
But I do know
alcohol is alcohol. Whiskey is supposedly supposed to give you a worse hangover because of the sugar content. But, I mean, if you're drinking enough to be that hungover, alcohol is alcohol. Don't mix. Like, your body goes, oh, wow, there's beer and whiskey in here. I can't combine these two. My chemistry is all amiss. I mean, come on, what are we, two?
So this is pretty funny. So
think of before beer, you're in the clear.
I don't know if Cedric Maxwell was aware of this thing that you guys were doing last night. I just know that when Jim was telling me that when they went to the Celtics game and went to their seats, you had to walk right past Cedric Maxwell and Sean Grandy to get your seat. So he saw everybody, and this is from last night's game, okay? This is from the Celtics broadcast of the game. Here is Cedric Maxwell during said broadcast.
Wisconsin's finest, Michael Felger.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, Michael Felger!
He doesn't know where it
Michael
came
from. Michael Felger!
He's oblivious. He's not going to react to just some fan. He's probably used to it.
Okay, so that's the first mention of Michael Felger that happened, and I'm not sure how much longer afterwards, but Cedric Maxwell said this.
So you're back from your
hiatus.
Visit with Michael Felger.
Why are you here? He wants to hand me a beer. It's like, I mean, I know the Hub were pretty good and pretty liberal, but I don't think that they want me drinking
probably
a cold one on air.
Now, how was he during that period, Jim Louth, when he was actually at the game? So if he was drunk when he got to the game, how was he during the game?
So at one point, we were up in the lounge area because we had access to the lounge area, and the bartender just put a glass of water on the table and said, give that to him.
Oh, really? So someone offered him a water? Like
the bartender was like, I suggest he has a glass of water.
And it's like 9 p.m.
We had 9:30. A couple margaritas.
But it doesn't matter what
Hunter
he drank.
Thompson.
It's obviously bad enough to where a bartender in Miami gave him water and said, I think that you're done and cut him off.
I don't know. I think the Emmy goes to Mr. Michael Felger is what I think. And then a guy who I really like, Jim Murray, is like, well, you can't mix alcohol. What are you for? Can't mix alcohol.
You, even you, Rich, is not a big drinker, but you mixing alcohol, what the hell does that have to do with anything?
You see, I think it's that Felger has like a really strict diet and doesn't eat a lot. No, and so I think part of it is that the liquor gets to his system quick.
Well, my wife used to think that Felger is handsome, and now she does not.
Oh.
Now she thinks that he looks really bad.
Oh.
So
that's not good.
No, she thinks that he's like emaciated and looks old.
Boy.
Well, I mean, that's more to my point. He doesn't eat a lot.
That's
so
fair enough. Okay, fair enough. Fine. Then he's drunk. Jim Murray has really got my ire because he's like, you can't mix alcohol, which is like, what are you talking about? You can't mix out. What do you, Rich, what do you think? Like, your body chemistry is such that it's like, wait a second. This alcohol's different than the other alcohol. I mean, come on. Admit that's the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard.
I mean, I've never heard that you can't do it, and I've mixed a lot of alcohol.
Beer before liquor, never been sicker. Liquor before beer, you're in the clear. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Have a dozen beers and then do a bunch of shots. You'll be fine.
What? We got a break.
I've been told that there's some secret bit I'm not supposed to know about. Can we do it here?
Sure. Why not? Let's do it.
All right. We have a secret bit that I am not privy to, and we will have that in just a moment. But first, Governor, right now to the Brad Monroe Groove contest line at 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of three-day general admission wristbands to Boston Calling this Memorial Day weekend at Harvard Athletic Complex. Just don't mix liquor. This year's Boston College will feature the Foo Fighters, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and the return of Rage Against the Machine. For full lineup and purchase 3 days tickets, visit bostoncalling.com.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.